Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and give you all the glory for a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father. And we declare even now that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. And we ask that that light will shine into our hearts even on this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, there are many promises that God has given us on this platform over the last couple of years. One that I want to focus on this morning, and this works for, you know, every promise, really. How to unlock that promise. So the first punchline today is this. I will activate his promises by faith. And there are certain things that we need to unlock with praise. Faith to activate, praise to unlock. So let's talk about it a bit this morning. Many promises that we read over the last couple of days, as a matter of fact. But there is one here. I recall that last year, July, the Lord began to tell us that he was going to bring us into a place of rest. There was rest, but there wasn't rest. I mean, it was like, you know, mixed blessings. You know, in some cases, yes, and in some cases, trouble. Well, you know, I'm going to the Lord and saying, well, you know, that rest that you promised for your people, well, I want to see it. I want us to experience it. Praise the Lord. So this particular exhortation this morning, I want to focus on us entering into that rest. Exodus 33 and verse 14 was one of the verses that we've talked about when we said the Lord would, you know, the ark would go before us. My presence, he said, shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Well, why is it important that we should have rest? Well, you can think of it any number of ways. You know, when we are not restful, then there is, you know, all kinds of stress that can take a hold of our mind. Even in science and in the order of business, you know, the law of physics, Newton's first law, you know, of inertia and all that, you know, a body at rest tends to remain at rest. You know, so if you are at rest, you're likely to remain at rest. If you're not at rest, then there's more situations likely to happen. I mean, somebody that's already aggravated, for instance, or stressed out, they are likely to, you know, shoot from the hip or, you know, just get unnecessarily wired up over some little thing, you know, or make a mountain or try to make a mountain out of a molehill because, you know, they're already stressed out. But when you are at rest, hallelujah, when you're at rest, it's, you know, there's a likelihood that you continue to be at rest. You know, that will keep in perfect peace, rest, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee. I notice also that, you know, I think you permit me for talking a little bit of science this morning, but I notice also that in science, you know, some of the more stable elements is they could be at rest. And if you find those elements that are really, really stable, they got a lot of energy packed inside of them. And if you can find a way to split that thing, it's going to release tremendous energy. Well, that's why they come with the hydrogen bomb and all of these things, because, you know, some of those elements are very, very stable. And the other ones that are not unstable, I mean, that are unstable, they're flying off all over the place. They don't pack too much energy at all. But you get a hold of those elements that are stable, because they're, you know, just stable. They're not going anywhere. And if you can find a way to split that, it's a tremendous release of energy. Well, I'm not splitting anything, but it's just an illustration that we have to continue in a state of rest. And in order to do that, we have to first of all be at rest. A body at rest tends to continue to be at rest, you know. So the promise of rest was given to some people. According to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 4, you know, but they could not attain unto those promises because of, you know, what we're talking about this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, my spirit will go before thee, my presence will go before thee, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. But, you know, it says, well, let us fear, lest that kind of promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to fall short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word that was preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Look, even as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that these people will not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, seeing therefore, I'm going to jump into this, verse 6. Seeing therefore, in fact, let me just read the whole thing. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, God did rest from the seventh day on his ox. In this place again, if they shall enter into his rest. So the argument is, if he already rested, why is he still talking about somebody entering to rest as if it's still future? Well, seeing then there it remaineth that some must enter therein, there's still some rest that he promised. And they to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of unbelief, you know. Then what should we do? Well, that's the point today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Any word of God, anything in the word of God must be fulfilled. Jesus said himself, not one jot or tittle will fall to the ground unless it all be fulfilled. So if God promised something, it will be fulfilled. If some people that came in contact with that promise did not get it, that, you know, that's fine. That's not the end of that promise. That promise must be fulfilled. There must of certainty be some people that will inherit that promise. Because that's the word of God. Every word of God will be fulfilled. You know, the people who did not get it because it wasn't mixed with faith, well, unfortunately, they missed out. But somebody is going to come along that's going to believe that word so that that word might be fulfilled. Because every word of God must be fulfilled. So then there is a promise of entering into his rest. You know, and I've been praying that God will help us to enter into rest. You know, there were a lot of challenges here and there last year, but may the Lord help us to enter into rest. But let's talk about, you know, this rest. You know, how do we, that's just one promise, but there are many other promises, you know, to activate the promise of God. We got to have faith. And sometimes we need praising the Lord also to unlock some things, you know, when things are held up, you praise the Lord to release them. You know, I've been thinking about some of the things. There's a word, I mean, there are several words, actually, not just one word that the Lord gave me for this year. And I was thinking, when will I release them for this platform? But I might actually release some tomorrow, because I was thinking, well, you know, I hold off until I release them at GMI Church, but, you know, why not? I might release some tomorrow, you know, but you know, one of the things that we want to know is that any time that God gives us a word, right? Now, that word is self-existent, self-sustaining, but it needs our faith behind it to activate it. Now, you know, whatever God says, he has already said it. It's a done deal. But, you know, whether or not it comes to pass or we realize it in our own particular life, you know, that is up to whether how we know how to praise the Lord for it and how to activate our faith. Somebody somewhere is going to get a hold of that word. God always has a remnant and will always leave himself a witness, you know, to the effect that none of, you know, have you ever thought, why do we have 24 elders around the throne? Have you ever thought about that? What is their business anyway? And who in the world are they? What are they doing there? Are they there? You know how we have elders, you know, so some church ministries and different things, elders, you know, to make sure that everything is, you know, in order. Are they there to make sure that anything is in order in heaven? Are they there to check the Lord? You know how, you know, elders must check certain things, make sure things are done right and so forth. You know, is that why these elders are there, to check the Lord? Absolutely not. These elders are there as a cloud of witnesses to tell you that, look, we've been here, you know, for a long time. We've never seen his word fail. His word has never failed. You know, that's their role. They can't check the Lord about anything, but their role is to say, look, we are a cloud of witnesses, you know, that's never failed anything that he said, you know. So to encourage you that, look, we've been around for a while, and yet we have not yet, you know. David said one time, he said, look, you know, I've been young, I've been old, you know, I mean, whatever, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Joshua, one time he said, look, I've looked, you know, about all the things that God promised. He said, nothing has failed of all the good work that he promised. He said, God has done all, you know, and can you look back and say the same thing? Well, if that's the case, then we ought to use that to garnish faith for ourselves. You know, it's really hard for God to do anything. We talk about there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. What is it that he cannot do and all that stuff? Well, I'll tell you some things that he cannot do. God cannot do anything where there is no faith. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate that he can't do it. Scripture says that Jesus, you know, he couldn't do many miracles, even in some of his own home country, because of their unbelief. Just couldn't do it. Couldn't do many mighty works there. God can't do these things, you know, without faith. I mean, faith is something. Why do I preach on faith all the time? You know, if you've been around this platform or anywhere that I speak for a long time, you'll notice that somewhere along the way, faith will be identified as one of my key things. Well, it's because of this very thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. You know, by faith, you know, we understand all the things about God, and you can't do anything. God can't do anything without faith for us. You know, I mean, he's already done it, but you can't get it without faith. You know, so it is really important. Salvation is by faith. You know, we talk about rapturing faith, going to the rapture and all of that. It's all by faith. There's nothing that we can achieve and get from God without faith. We can't even please God without faith. I mean, when people do not sanctify the word of God in their hearts, which is basically faith, then they displease the Lord, you know, and God is vexed with them. So the way to activate his promises are through faith. It's really very simple. And the way to unlock certain things is by praise. You might think of praise as a turbo booster. You know, that's what you might think of praise like that. You know, praise can open so many things, you know, that may have been locked up. And there are promises for sure that have been locked up. First, we got to get our faith right. What is faith really? You know, we've tried to talk about, you know, faith on this platform in so many different ways, you know, and if you can figure out what faith is for yourself, good. There are many scriptures where you can quote, but that's not going to help you if you don't figure it out. You can quote Hebrews 11:1 and say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You can quote it, but is it going to help you if you don't figure out what it really means? I mean, you can even quote the, you know, how faith comes. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Is it going to help you if you don't figure it out? I mean, we hear the word of God all the time. How come it is we don't have faith then? I mean, if faith comes by hearing, then everybody that has the word of God or hears the word of God should have faith. And there are a lot of people who hear the word of God all the time. How come then they don't have faith? Well, so there is something about figuring it out. That's what I want to talk about today. You know, it's not just about, you know, the head knowledge of the definition of faith. It's how we apply it for ourselves. I mean, little children, Jesus said, look at these little children, you know, except you be converted and become like them, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. These little children demonstrate faith certain ways, you know. When they come, I know when my grandkids come, they're always expecting me to give them something, you know. Grandpa, I have $5. They're always expecting to give them something. And they also understand that I have the capacity to do it, you know. And when they ask, they don't even think in their head that they're not going to get it. Because they know that Grandpa can do it. And he's going to do it because he's always done it. Yeah. In fact, one of my grandkids one time, he's grown now, you know, we were doing some kind of celebration. I don't know if it was my birthday or something or anniversary or something. I don't know. The kids were coming out and saying something. And one of them came out and said, well, you know, I love Grandpa. Why? So he's always giving me money. I'm like, that's the only thing you can think about. Well, that's the level of which they are. So the next time he asks, he knows that there's this track record that he's always doing it. I mean, this is how faith works. It's just, you know, it's something that you build up in yourself, you develop it, it's ingrained. It's not something that we are scratching our head about or some situation is there and then we're trying to believe. You know, this is what many of us do. When a situation comes up, when we're struggling to believe for that situation, whereas faith should be a natural thing. You know, it's just, you know, that's just the thing. That's who we are. We're people of faith. We understood God. You know, 24 elders are there to tell you that, look, all the time that we've been here, we've never seen his word fail. We know it, you know. And so these are the things that we know. You must recognize and put into practice daily to help build up that faith. Some people talk about, you know, building up your most holy faith. They think it's, you know, just by praying in the spirit and so forth. Well, that's not even what that scripture says, but I won't get into that today. But there are many things that Jude 20 talks about. One of them is, the next time you read it this way, instead of the way you've probably been reading it. The way we've been reading it is, you know, we read it as though, you know, if you just pray in the Spirit or pray in the Holy Ghost for a long time, then your faith is going to rise. How in the world is that going to happen? You know, It may rise for that situation you're praying about, but tomorrow you're going to be right back to where you were if you didn't, you know. There's a something you must build into yourself, you know. There are many things, you know, that this verse 20 of Hebrews, Jude talks about. But ye, beloved, building up your most holy faith. He didn't say by praying the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that, but people interpret it like that. These are the things that you do. You build up your most holy faith. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You keep yourselves in the love of God. You look for the mercy of the Lord. These are the things that you are supposed to do, all of them in this verse. You know, it's not, you know, praying the Holy Ghost is not the thing that, you know, will build up your most holy faith. You build up your holy faith through a life of practice. That's how you do it. You know, you practice, you have your senses exercised, according to Hebrews 5. You practice, you know by experience that, look, you've come this far. You understood how it works. You know God is able. He's good for it. And you've seen him do it time and time again. It's not just because you are praying in tongues. No, it's because you've seen it, you understand it, it works. You know that's how it works. And, you know, the next time you ask him, you know he's going to do it because he's done it so many times. You know, now, praying the Spirit may help you to pray about mysteries, but, you know, how is your spirit going to get edified? You know, you build up your faith in your spirit. You know, so you read the Word of God, that's good. You quote the Word of God, that's good. You hear the Word of God. All these things help us to build up our most holy faith. But, but you practice it. That's what I want to talk about today. You use it. Now, the way to increase your faith, Jesus explained it to the disciples. Because they came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. You know, everybody wants great faith. Lord, increase our faith. But did Jesus start praying in the Spirit? Did Jesus tell them to pray in the Spirit so that they can increase their faith? He said, no such thing. Jesus said, use your faith. He said, use what you already got. That's how you increase your faith. If you have faith as little as a mustard seed, he said, you do great things. It's not about praying to receive. They were praying to Jesus. I mean, every time you ask Jesus something, that's prayer. So basically, that's just because Jesus was there with them. It was prayer. Lord, increase our faith. That's prayer. But what was his answer? Think about his answer. Then you will see that, look, the answer to increasing faith is not about praying to increasing faith. That's not the answer. The answer is using your faith. That's how you increase your faith. You already know, you know, through experience that it works. And then, you know, you've developed a practice that you know that it works. You understand certain things. You know, you become a faith professional. You know, on our jobs, some of us are pros. I mean, I'm an SME, what we call subject matter expert in some areas of my job. Many of you are. When I'm in those areas, nobody's telling me anything, you know, and I'm not asking any questions of nobody, you know. I know what I'm saying because in those areas, I'm the authority and I just say it. But that's the way it is. It's not like, you know, I'm not guessing or doubting and so forth. I mean, people ask questions, I give it to them authoritatively because that I'm the authority. I mean, it's, you know, subject matter expert. you can be like that with faith. You know, you developed yourself to become a subject matter expert. And that's how you activate his promises. It's not just because one day out of the year you spend 4 hours praying in these tongues. You know, that's not going to do it. Maybe for that moment, but it's a life of faith. You're living a life of faith. You know, all these things that we read in Hebrews 11, that we were reading of them, it wasn't because they were just stayed in one place and were praying. You know, this was their life. You know, by faith, they did all these things they did. That was their life. just a lifestyle of faith. That's how you activate the promises. You live the faith. Everything. You're just doing it. Day by day. Day by day. And as you do it, it becomes second nature, so to speak. And the next time a situation arises, you already know that he's going to do it, you know. And that's what Jesus said. Lord, increase our faith. Well, there are a lot of ways that Jesus could have answered that prayer. And let me ask you this. If somebody were to come to you today and say, well, tell me how to increase my faith, what would be your answer? Well, let's read a small section here. It's a couple different places. But let me read Luke chapter 17, verses 5 to 6 here. And see how Jesus answered this prayer. It was a prayer. So let's see how he answered it. In Luke chapter 17, now these are disciples who, were around Jesus, right? They recognized that they actually did need to increase their faith. Because there were times, that different things happened and Jesus rebuked them for not having faith. They just said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, well, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might do this. And then he left it there and then moved on to something else. I mean, you will notice that in this prayer and the response, Jesus wasn't talking about, you going to pray some more in order to release that faith. He's saying, just use what you already have. So the process of increasing your faith comes from using faith. Now we've talked about, faith being the currency that works in the heavens. On earth, currency is money. In America, our money is called the dollar. Other people in, Nigeria, maybe it's called Naira. In the UK, it's called the pound, this and that, But here, or euros in Europe, here, if you have money and you're using it, let's say you have a stash of it, you're using it, it will deplete. I mean, unless you find, a means of bringing more in, if you just, what you have, and you're just using, you could be getting less and less and less. But that's the exact opposite of faith. Unlike money, where if you use it, you get, the more you use, the less you have. Well, faith, the more you use it, the more you have. That's what Jesus is teaching. Use your faith. Use the one you already have. Instead of coming here and asking me for more, go use what you already have. And there were many times that Jesus was disappointed at them, but they wouldn't use their faith. Most times that he rebuked them for not using their faith was because he knew they could have handled that situation if they would have just used their faith. There's no need to come and pray, to me. Like they were in the boat in Mark chapter 4. They were running to Jesus. Master, help us. We're going to drown. Don't you care? That's prayer. That's a desperation prayer. But Jesus is saying, you didn't need that prayer. You could have just used your faith. Now, that may seem sacrilegious to some people, but it is the truth. You don't have to run to Jesus, for every little thing. God wants us to develop our faith to the point where you activate his promise by faith. Just activate it. It's a life of faith. You've already prayed. It's not like you live a prayerless life. You already prayed. You got up early in the morning, you prayed. Jesus got up early in the morning, prayed. He already prayed before all these situations. And then during the day, he just uses his faith. So it's not like we're telling you not to pray. You're praying, you're doing all these things, but when the situation arises, you're using your faith at that time. That's the difference. It's not that when that situation arises, then you're, praying. You've already prayed. But when that situation arises, you use your faith. You use your faith at that time. That's right. You use your faith. And Jesus said, where is your faith? Why was it that Jesus would ask things like that? How is it that you have no faith? How come you are so fearful? I mean, what was Jesus really saying in that story? When they came to him and they were about to drown, they said, "We're about to drown, Lord. Why are you still sleeping? We're drowning here. Get up and do something." And Jesus said, "Ah." And he got up and said, "What's happening?" because he was just sleeping through the storm. And as far as Jesus was concerned, he was just going to sleep through that storm. Not that he wasn't aware that a storm was coming, but it didn't matter because he had his faith. He already said, "We're going to the other side." And so that's it. You're going to go to the other side. Because that's what Jesus said. Let us pass over to the other side. And the end of story. Storm may come in the way or not. You know, he already said you're going to the other side. Just use your faith. You know, there's a powerful scripture in Philippians chapter 4. You know, verses 6 and 7. It says, look, be anxious for nothing. You know, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. This thing supports the evidence for prayer. So I'm not saying I'm not knocking prayer. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. We've called for prayer in this room all the time. I talk about it all the time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Even when some people say, "I prayed about me before, should I pray again?" And they say they don't want to pray. I've told people, pray again. I said that all the time. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying there are certain situations where you need to use your faith. You know. Now, verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4 says, you know, when you bring your prayer and you bring your request with thanksgiving to the Lord, you would have expected that Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 would say, and the Lord will grant the request. I mean, that's what I would have expected. You know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the next verse should be, and the Lord will grant your request according to the multitude of his mercies. He will grant your request. That should be the next verse. But that's not what the next verse is saying. The next verse says, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. And think about that for a minute. You know, think about it. You know, if you really think about it, the Lord might show you something there. Yeah, it's look, there is some peace and some rest that you have, whether or not there is an immediate answer to the prayer. This is what that verse is saying. It's not about, you know, God will answer the prayer. He will answer the prayer. But whether he answers it right there and there or not, you have peace and you have rest. If you don't have rest, you are, you know, agitated. You know, God doesn't want to be agitated about anything. Be at peace, you know. Doesn't want us to be agitated. And nothing should agitate you. You know, be at rest, you know. And as a matter of fact, you know, when you develop your faith, to a level, there's a level to which God wants us. This is why we're calling ourselves sons of God, right? You know, incredible, precious promises given to us that we might become partakers of the divine nature. What a partaker of divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature means that you become like God. You know, now you can never replace God, but you become like him. And God, you do certain things. You know, you don't have to ask God every little thing. You know how to do those things. I mean, when God put Adam in the garden, then you might say God went on vacation. On a one-day vacation, he said, look, the man is here. He got this. Now I can rest. That's it. You know, so we need, when we get to the point where we've learned to use our faith to the point where, you know, we have rest, then God say, yeah, this man's got it. So that's the thing that I'm talking about today. God wants us to develop to the point where we can do certain things, take care of the storm. Instead of coming to run to me, what you could have taken care of that storm is what Jesus was saying. Jesus said, look, why are you so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? That means if you had faith, you overcome the fear, you overcome the storm. You don't have to come, you know, run to me, take care of it. So the lesson in that story is actually that Jesus had more faith in the disciples than they had in themselves and even in the Lord to take care of the situation. They had to go run to him. You know, they could have taken care of that situation. And the word of God, we have to understand something about the word of God. It's self-sustaining. This is how you develop your faith. You know, you understand the word of God. When he says faith comes by hearing, it's not just because you hear it, it's because you understand it. A lot of people hear, but they don't understand. You know, just because you hear, it's not going to make your faith grow. It's when you understand it. That's why Jesus always says, do you now understand these things? And there are some people in Matthew chapter 13 that heard the word. They didn't understand it. The birds of the air came and plucked it out of them. And Jesus said, that's the wayside hearers of the word. That's what he called it. Wayside hearers of the word. They hear, but they don't understand. So the devil comes and pick it up. So it's not just hearing that brings faith. It's the understanding. You have to understand what you hear. If you don't understand it, the devil is going to come and get it out of your heart. You know, so, but when you understand it, you understand. The Jesus will say, do you now understand these things? They say, yes, Lord. I said, good. All right. When you understand it, we have an understanding. We know now what he's trying to tell us, you know. And many times it seems as if it's natural hearing, just hearing. But no, it goes beyond that. Because when Jesus said, let him that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Everybody has an ear. So it's not just the natural. It's the hearing. Can you exercise spiritual hearing when you are physically hearing something? Like I'm speaking today. What is it that you are hearing out of what I'm saying today? See, that's the thing. When you hear the word of God, you know, in the book of Galatians that we are studying, you know, get to the point where I said, look, you know, they that minister to you, the Spirit among you, do they do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What does the hearing of faith mean? I mean, how do you hear faith? I mean, why didn't he just say hearing of the word of God? But we'll get to that later. But hearing of faith, the faith, what do you hear when you hear the word of God? What does it turn into? Even when you pray, does it turn into faith or is it just some jumbo, mumbo, rumbling, something? You know, does it turn into faith? It's faith that really moves heaven or God answers. It's not just prayer. You can pray all day long. If you don't have any faith, it's not going to work. So it's your faith in your prayer. That's really what God answers. You know. The little child that comes, he already knows. They don't even doubt. They know that grandpa can give them that money. They know it. You know, and when you go to God, do you know he can do it? Well, there are certain things too that, you know, you can do. It's called dominion. Praise God. Now, these things may seem far-fetched because, you know, our natural senses, our natural mind can't just understand this thing. But it's called dominion, ladies and gentlemen. Dominion. Hallelujah. You know, you get to the point where you can actually have dominion. I mean, look at Jesus. You know, Jesus is trying to show us how to do it. I mean, Jesus had no problem with anything. You know, I mean, he's trying to go somewhere. The disciples left him in behind. No problem. I'll just walk on the water and catch up with them. Praise God. Both already left the station. No problem. That's the Son of God. A dominion. You can walk on the sea. A dominion. It doesn't matter. You don't have enough food. What do you have? You know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 2 loaves, 5 fishes. Doesn't make any difference to him. You know, it's enough. I mean, he didn't, you know, stress over any of these things. He just exercised faith and dominion. And this is what he's trying to teach us. Exercise your faith and dominion. You know, when I was a much younger man, I lived that kind of life. And that's how I developed my faith. I mean, I just believed the Lord. I mean, it didn't matter. And many of you are like that too. You just took the word of God and just believed it. And it just happened. Now, when you get a little older, you start to analyze everything. You start to reason everything. Then all of a sudden, these things don't work anymore. You know, that's not, you know, and that's how, you know, reasoning and other things creeping. But the way to activate the word of God and the promises is through faith. Faith is not by reasoning. Faith is just by you knowing that God said it and he's good for it. That's it. And then you check your history and know that he's always been good for it. And that's how faith works. You know, I have faith because of, you know, what I, you know, what I've seen God do. I know he can do it. He's done it before. I know he can do it. It's I understand it now. You know, so same thing. You know, and you can develop into a science. You know, I try to teach that in people to develop their faith into a science. It's not guesswork. You do it this way, it works. Believe the Lord, find his promise, you're persuaded of it, you embrace it, you act it out, it works. It just works. It's not guesswork. And that's how you unlock, that's how you activate the promises of God. Now, there are occasions, though, when the devil might block something. You got the, look, we are in a fight. It's not because, you know, just because you have faith doesn't mean that the devil is not going to fight you. He's going to fight you. You know, so when you need, when your faith needs a little help, you kick it into turbo boosting by praise. That's right. Now, praise will unlock God's promises faster than anything else. You know, I mean, so you kick it. We've seen the examples, the Jehoshaphat story and many other stories, the story of David. That was his lifetime. I mean, lifestyle. He just praised the Lord. He knew how to walk that praise. That's what I call it. If you know how to walk that praise to your advantage, that's right. You know the right buttons to press to make it to your advantage. You know, people learned that when they were around David. You know, Hezekiah, even though he was great, great, great grandson, you know, he figured out the ways of how to do it, you know, because of the way great, great, great grandfather did it. You tell God how great he is, you know, and so on. You know the right buttons to press. You said, thou art the God, the very God alone. You know, all these other gods, there are no gods. Thou art the castle and the fire. But you, you tell it to him like that. You activate, you build up. And that's the kind of prayer. If we're going to pray to build up our faith, that's the kind of prayer. That's how you build up your faith. It's not just rumbling some words. Tell God how great he is. Remind him of all the things he has done. And let it be about him getting the glory. And that's how we activate. And when you praise him in advance like that and say, Lord, you know, I know. Yeah. I mean, look, when you flex your arms, David used to say that. He said, thy right hand and thy holy arm. That's flexing of his arms. His right hand had gotten him the victory. When God flexes his arms, nobody can arm wrestle God down. Hallelujah. I mean, think of it. Sit across the chair from the Lord, arm wrestle, and you can arm wrestle him down. Can't do it. And that's what David used to say. And so that's how we, you know, activate the promises of God. There's a promise of rest. There's also some other things I will be releasing by the grace of God coming. It's not anything God hasn't already given us, but there is a release coming. And how do you, I want to prepare you for this, because how do you activate those things? I mean, there's a lot of things God has told us. Some of them are still dormant. Why? Well, because we don't know the right principles of activating things. You know, it's a shame, really, if we don't, you know, understand certain things that the Lord's trying to tell us. You know, but, I mean, what's the Lord going to do about it? And that's why I say, if you have an ear, hear, which means there's a lot of people that have an ear, but they're not hearing, or they don't even have the spiritual ears. But the Lord is saying it anyway. So, use your praise and use your faith. Faith to activate, praise to unlock. And the promises of God for this year, or even previous years, things that are still lingering that God already promised. Praise God. Let's not, this year, 2025, let's not have a doubting moment. Don't have any seesaw seesaw moment is up and down. I call it yo-yo. You go up and you go down. You go up. Well, you know, that's a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think they're going to get what they're asking for. It's not going to work. You'll be steadfast or movable. Hallelujah. Stay right there with the word of God. Say, well, the Lord said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Praise God. And when God has spoken, you say amen. That's it. And the moment that you believe it like that, and you know, for people to bring themselves to the point of saying a real amen that activates the prayer, it's a practice. It's not just a word. Anybody can say amen to anything. It doesn't mean anything. But it's a practice. You've gotten to the point, you've practiced the words that you say, you know, over time, that they actually have a meaning. It's not just empty words. Sometimes we make empty words. You know, sometimes, you know, we praise the Lord with our lips, but our heart's not there. Those are empty words. God said it himself. These people praise me with their lips, but their heart is not there. But when your heart is inside of it, you understand it with your heart, not just your ears or your head. You understand it. You can say it and you understand it. When Mary said amen to it, she understood it and she meant it. And it became flesh in her. That word, at that moment, she got pregnant. Now, the word of God, once released to you, it's released. It's done. God is not taking it back. Now, you can get a hold of it, activate it for yourself by your faith. So, what are some promises that God has given us for this year? Well, like I said at the beginning, let me summarize this lesson. Mostly the rest portion. My spirit will go before you. I will give you rest. I will cast out all these seven nations before you so that you might enter into rest. You might enter into the promised land. Well, in order for you to enter in though, you got to have faith. The first set of people that this thing was given to them, they were a bunch of people that didn't have any faith. They said, we can't do it. A couple of people though said, we can do it. You know, so what is your answer going to be? You know, sometimes we say, well, the Lord will give us an answer of peace. Well, what is your own answer of faith? You know, so the answer of faith says amen to the promises of God. Because they are indeed yea and amen in Christ. So that's our exhortation this morning. I want you to zero in on the promises of God and practice releasing that promise, each promise by faith. That's it. You know, the word of God says, you know, prove me now, here we say at the Lord. Well, prove the word of God. See if it's true. Check it out for yourself. Praise God. You know, has God spoken and he's not able to back it up? Well, check it out for yourself. And if he's able to back it up, he backed it up once, twice, three, four, five times before. Why on number six are you now doubting? I mean, Jesus said, look, have you forgotten, you know, how many people were fed with the two loaves and five this and that? I mean, and how many baskets you took up? Have you forgotten this and that? Because another situation arose and then they quickly forgot. And Jesus said, no. See, the way you continue to develop your faith is you keep remembering what he's already done. Don't forget that. Have you forgotten that miracle of the five loaves and this and so forth? And any baskets you took off? Have you forgotten this and that? Don't forget it. Let it be front and center in your eyes. That's how you build your faith. And then you come to the point where it becomes second nature. That's where we want to get to this year by the grace of God. The word of God is so real to us that when we hear it, well, we don't even think about it. We know it's so. And then we ourselves can speak it, and it's as though we spoke for God. It's called the oracles of God. You know, you have that kind of faith. You've developed your faith to that. You know, we've talked about it, we've written about it, even the principles of oracles of God. You know, you can now release your faith to that point. It's a lifestyle. You know, but God wants us to have rest this year. Now, what about praising the Lord? Well, praising the Lord is an amazing art that we need to get into more and more. The more you learn to praise the Lord, the more you can release powerful things for yourself. Seeing it throughout the scriptures. You know, when you know how to praise the Lord, God will go to fight and battle for you more than you can think. Praising the Lord was what made the Lord fight the battle for Jehoshaphat without they having to do anything. The Lord promised it, but they unlocked it by praise. Praise, the Lord said, oh, I will fight for you. You will not need to fight in this battle. You can read the story in 2 Chronicles 20. We've read it multiple times. But they unlocked that, the power of that promise through praises. So, well, God said it. Well, I'm gonna worship the Lord. First thing they did was worship the Lord. And then they put it into practice. Put your faith into practice. If the Lord will fight for me, then I don't need to fight. Let the soldiers go to the back. I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, and then they got the victory for sure. Will you dare to believe? You know, dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. Releasing and activating the promises of God through your faith, unlocking them through praising the Lord. That's the life that we want to live this year. I'm going to pray over the room. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. So fresh every day. It's always new, even though we've heard it before. And today I pray, Lord, that we will have understanding of these things. Help us to develop our faith to the point where it's a natural thing for us to believe God. Just believe God. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, read it. So let me read it. I alluded to it, but I didn't read it. I'm going to read it now in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45. Let me read it. And the Lord gave them rest about, starting from verse 44, according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Remember, and that was the charge to go forward. The ark will go before you. But look at the end of the result here. The Lord gave them rest. I'm talking about that rest roundabout, even as he swore to give them. Now, listen to verse 45 of Joshua 21. They have failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You know, all came to pass. This is how you develop your faith. Not just some of it came to pass, but all of it came to pass. That's how you develop your faith. And would you know that, you know, even, what's his name? Solomon, when he built a temple and he was dedicating the temple, would you know that he repeated even this same kind of thing? In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, it said, blessed be the Lord who are given rest unto his people. Now, this rest is so important. God wants us to have this rest, not be agitated over anything this year. But you're going to unlock it by faith. And you're going to release it and activate it by faith. According to all that he promised. Notice how many times they use the word all. They had not failed one word of all. You know, of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. This is the same thing that Joshua said. Solomon is saying the same thing here. Not one thing failed. That's what the 24 elders are there to affirm. Father, we thank you. That rest that you promised, we're going to enter into it this year. Praise the Lord. And during the years of rest, that's when we can expand the release that's coming. The word of the Lord, I'll release some of it by God's grace tomorrow. You got to have rest to be able to do it. It was when God gave Asa rest for 15 years. That's when they were able to release and do some things. And so there's some things that are coming, but we must have rest. That's why God's preparing your heart with this lesson. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.